encourage you to get your lift notes ready. If you didn't get to grab a lift note, you can, in the future, just as you're coming on in from one of the greeters, encourage you to follow along. Those are great things, great little tools to take back with you throughout the week and reflect back on what God was doing here on Sunday and spend a little time with him in prayer and just processing what God's doing. So encourage you to get your pens out and get your Bibles out. All right, we are going to talk about the new year today as we're coming into this new year. It's just celebrated New Year's this week. There's just kind of that collective vibe, whether it's on TV or in the internet or the news, there's that buzz about reflecting back on last year, looking forward to next year, looking forward to this 2013. So before we jump back into our series on the book of Acts that we're walking through and looking at what does it look like to be that young early church, I want to pause and seize this moment and just kind of talk for a few minutes here of why is that new year so attractive to so many people, and what does God have to do with that? So I want to start with this, actually. I want to have you guys talk amongst yourself for a minute. Anybody in here ever make a New Year's resolution? Maybe? Three people? Come on. All right, well, let's take a minute, and as a way of getting to know your neighbor, why don't you turn to someone around you and just for like 2 minutes, just discuss what's the most memorable New Year's resolution you've ever made? And did you actually keep it for more than a day? So let's talk for a couple of minutes here. New Year's resolutions. All right. So that is some healthy discussion there. I'd like to see that. So what are some things you heard from your neighbor, maybe? You can go ahead and share their story. What's a New Year's resolution that stuck out to you? Gym membership. All right. What? What is it? Not to fabricate stories. Ooh. Yeah, we're getting real now. We're getting real. Okay. Good. What else? Yes, sir. I love this guy's heart. Everyone in the world, starting with me, would love each other. Boom. All right, good. What else? Yo. Nice. That's a good New Year's resolution right there. Cool. Whoa. What's the shortest any one of you have ever kept a New Year's resolution? How long? An hour. Would you share what that was? Is that shareable? She gave up candy for an hour. There was an airhead on the table that just was calling. You know, couldn't be resisted. Awesome. All right. I believe that there's lots of excitement about the new year, and they're very popular. I think people, whether they're aware of God or not, can feel that we need regularly to have new life infused into us. That there's this deep human cry for a regular dose of something fresh, a new power, a new direction that would come with that, a new strength to face our challenges, a new purpose for the year, a new identity. We're a people that hungers for new. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all. In fact, as I'm saying, I think it's a spiritual longing. that people that may or may not say they have anything to do with God at the new year want something new, because there's a hunger in all of us for God who is in the business of new. And I want to take us today through just a few passages of Scripture that show the heart of God, the dynamic heart of God, that He is a God who is in the business of new. And in fact, Jesus in the book of Revelation says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And that's a powerful statement to see from our Lord and Savior, that his work, if you will, on earth, he's comfortable to say, what is it about? It's making all things new. It's the renewal of all things towards the destiny that they were originally created for. And yes, this is coming from Revelation, so it's about that future time when he does renew everything and make all things right. However, if you've been with us for any time at all, you'll know that a big part of our understanding of Jesus as he models in his life is that heaven begins now. He came to the earth to bring heaven to earth, not in its fullness, but in major tastes, in bits and pieces. Everything he did, he said that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. And everywhere he went, the good news that he spread, the gospel that he spread, that he lived out, that he modeled, that he shared with people, that he demonstrated in power, it was little bits and pieces and tastes of heaven's goodness coming to earth now. And so as we see Jesus say, I'm going to make all things new, we know, we can have the good hope that that same heart is exactly the same heart that he had while he was on earth. It was to renew. It was to bring a newness to our life that we hunger for, that we desire. And so today I want to take us through just a few scriptures here that I hope will encourage us that as we begin 2013, we can take whatever's going on in our life, whatever frustrations from 2012, whatever tough situations, whatever weariness, and we can bring all of that and put it into the hope of in 2013, we can put that in the arms of the one who says, I'm here to make all things new. That's one of the things I love about Jesus, is he's so nitty-gritty and down to earth. So where he would say, you know, the word would say things like, cast all our cares. God says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. That's a beautiful word. That as we move out of 2012, all our cares, what are you bringing this morning from 2012 that is a care, that is a burden, that is an anxiety, that is a worry? And bring it this morning and put it into 2013 into the arms of the one who says, I love to make all things new. Sound good? All right, so let's look at a few scripture verses here. To help with that, I'm gonna ask for your guys' help, actually, and going to get you involved a little bit here. As we see the word new in these scripture verses, I want you guys just to kind of shout it out. It's going to help wake you up a little bit. I know some of you are on the fast already. You have had your coffee, myself included, and I'm praying. I'm like, where's the Holy Spirit today? Oh, wait, I haven't had coffee. All right, I need the extra Holy Spirit today. So I'm going to help you guys wake up. And so when you hear the word new or see the word new up there in the scripture verses, I want to have your help and just shout it out. So let's try it real quick. All right. Maybe. That's pretty good. Okay, cool. We don't even need another shot. We're going for it. All right, here we go. We're going to jump around a little bit. So if you're in your lift notes, you can see the scriptures where we're going. But Lamentations, it's in the Old Testament. I don't really know where. I've got an electronic Bible. No, just kidding. Lamentations chapter 3, tiny little book, hard to find. But there's a beautiful phrase in there that really has profoundly shaped my life, and it's just a beautiful picture of the heart of God. And it says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercy never comes to an end. They are... Yeah. Nice. Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So that is really good news of how often is God's mercy, that's his undeserved goodness and that he gives us what we don't deserve, how often is that new? It's every single morning. And I that's so profound that I am never allowed to wake up and say, oh, you know what, today, I bet God's over me. It's officially done. It's over. I've crossed the line. I've done too much. I'm sure God's tired of me, and his love, his mercy, it's just run out. Because that's what I deserve. And that's what humans do, right? We can just be over somebody. And it's true to an extent. There's only so much that I can do. I can burn so many bridges and cause problems and be mean before a person will respond, I've had enough with you. And that's understandable to a degree. But not so with God. Incredible. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies never, that's a big word, never come to an end. They're new every morning. I can wake up tomorrow and know, I can wake up today and know that God has new mercy. It's a fresh start. New mercy, like it never happened. It's a new mercy. That's incredible. Another way to think of it, that we use this language from time to time, it's powerful, is that do you know that you can wake up every morning and know that God is in a good mood towards you? That's another way of putting he has new mercy, new love. It's fresh. And can you feel that? I mean, it's here in the Word, but the question for this morning is, can you feel that? When you wake up in the morning, what do you feel about God? Can you feel that God is in a good mood towards you personally? That will change your life. How different would your day begin if you knew that God specifically towards you was in a good mood when you woke up? That would change a lot of things. The first time I heard this, I felt like my friend was saying, I was like, that just sounds weird. God's in a good mood. But it's a play on words from language that we use in our day. But if you think about it long enough, it's very accurate. It's very accurate from based on what Jesus has done. It's very accurate even right according to this verse. Thankfully, in Jesus, we're not in the business of getting what we deserved. It's right here in this verse. We don't want what we deserved. It says, because of God's great love, we are not consumed. God is a holy God. If we got what we deserve, we'd be consumed. But it says his mercy never comes to an end. We're not nearly holy enough to earn mercy. We're not nearly holy enough to earn this relationship with God. I've done all these great things. Haven't I impressed you, God? Because I'm so righteous, I'm so holy, I'm so wonderful, I'm so perfect. If that's your hope, man, you haven't been to my house, so we'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. But thankfully, that's not our hope. Our hope is right here in the Word where it says it's because of the Lord's great love and his mercy that never ends and is new every morning. Another way to think of it is my good buddy Bono, the leader of U2, he says that we're living in an era of grace through Jesus. And that's an interesting phrase, an era, a time of grace. And that's so true. Through what Jesus has done, we don't get what we deserve. It's the beauty of the gospel. That God can look upon us every morning because of who Jesus is and what he's done, and that all what we deserve, which would be separated from him, is gone. Wrath gone. Justice gone is all taken care of, paid for through Jesus, so that when you wake up in the morning as a follower of Jesus, what is upon you, God sees the goodness, the righteousness, the holiness of Jesus, and therefore towards you is a good mood. That's crazy. Every single morning I can wake up because God is in the business of new mercy. That's who God is. God is in the business of new mercy. And now that doesn't mean that God's pleased by everything we do. Just a quick little qualifier. When we mess up and make bad decisions and do hurtful things to ourselves and others and God, as the Word says, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And God will bring his Holy Spirit to correct us. And there's consequences for our actions. But the point is, even when that happens, God's not out to get us in vengeance. His mercy is what triumphs. He's not out to consume us. He's out to demonstrate every morning that his mercy is new. And when you say, oh, I don't deserve it, I'm not good enough, I haven't earned it, God's like, no, stop. That's not the criteria. My mercy is new. Through Jesus, my love is covering you. And you can wake up and have the freedom that God is in a good mood towards you. And I would challenge you to wrestle with that. And spend some mornings and think about, how do I understand God to think about me? Because that's, whether you know it or not, all of us are living under a concept of who God is. And if subconsciously or consciously you feel like God is angry, or God is full of wrath, or God is aloof, he's far off, he doesn't really care, he doesn't know what's going on in my situation, all of those have repercussions of how we're going to live. It may be that God is far away, or God is angry, and I have to perform. I have to get it right today. So I'm going to feel all sorts of anxiety and pressure and guilt that I've got to live up to this standard in order to earn love today. If that's your understanding of God, it's going to directly translate into all sorts of things like anxiety and fear, and you're scared and you're guilty. And the beautiful thing about what Jesus says is he came to set us free from all that. He took on all the performing, all the good works, all the righteousness that was needed. He did it so that we could be forgiven, and that we could wake up and know it's not about how well I perform today. And if I perform well enough, I feel good enough because I feel like I've earned your love. And if I don't, then I feel guilt. That's wiped away. And God wants us to be able to soak in the reality of our new identity through Jesus. And that's this next verse I want to take us to, where Paul talks about this, what Jesus has done. And the ramifications are huge. As he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a...
Jew.
Come on. If you're in Christ, he is a...
Jew.
That's got some power. Creation. The old's passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, God's in the business of a new identity. God is in the business of giving new identities. See, we need to soak in that reality that because of Jesus, God is in a good mood towards me as his beloved child. As I start off this new year, God is in a good mood towards me as his beloved child as I start the new year. That is so radical. It's through what Jesus has done that it says right here in this verse, the old you that doesn't deserve to be with God, it's gone. It's passed away, it says. God only sees the new you, covered in the righteousness of Jesus, and therefore perfect. So in that, we can wake up knowing God's commitment to you is not to treat you as you deserve, but to treat you as Jesus deserves. Think about that. As we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And so God's commitment is not to treat you as you deserve, but as Jesus deserves. So as we're adopted into God's family, we can therefore be so peaceful, so blessed, so I can wake up and know that I am the royal son or daughter, beloved of God, and he is in a good mood towards me today because of Jesus. Whew, I just got a little chills. That is amazing. Anybody feeling that? Anybody feeling that? That's some good way to start the day. All right. Last verse and we'll close. In Colossians 3, Paul is again just expounding upon the newness of God. So here he talks about this, in Corinthians he talks about this new identity. And here we're going to talk about another incredible promise from God for something new. So in Colossians 3, there it is, 9 and 10. Paul encourages his church to say, and says, put off that old self with its practices and put on the
new
self, which is being renewed. Oh, man, there you missed it. Is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The awesome news there. God is in the business of new character. Of new character. That is some good news. That we are made in the image of God, and our destiny is that we're made to reflect the character of the one who made us. That's crazy. The goodness, the wholeness, the righteousness, the perfection of our Creator, we are destined to reflect that image. So that happens, and the fast is a good thing, a good way to pursue this. Through relational time spent with Him, we become like Him. I mean, how many of you know that's just a relational truth? The people that you surround yourself with is who you become like, for better or for worse. Who you surround yourself with is who you become like. I once heard, I think it was Jim Rome, leadership guy, says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I don't know if that's, you know, biblically correct, but it's a true idea for sure. You become like who you spend your time with. Hello, God. What an invitation to spend your time around and with and in Jesus. The destiny for us, the promise is that we can become transformed to be more and more like Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's awesome. And if we don't, man, life's hard. If I'm doing it on my own strength, if you know, character is what dictates all of our decisions and our choices, and if I am doing that on my own strength, life gets really hard. It gets unsatisfying, it gets boring, it gets despairing, it gets painful. But this incredible promise here, the good news is that God's in the business of giving us a new character so that we can be like Him, and that our lives, therefore, can produce fruit that is tasty for ourselves and others. Fruit that tastes like heaven. Fruit that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and these things that you just cannot produce on your own, but are like the water in a dry and weary land. Oh, to have real joy. Oh, to have true peace in this frantic and anxious world. Oh, to have real love for God, for myself, for others. You just can't buy that stuff. It happens through this process, putting off the old self and putting on that new self. But this phrase here, this verse, holds a phrase that's key for all of us. And it's where the promise is at. It's relevant for every person in this room, and it's one of the key aspects of the process of discipleship. And if you want to get to know the heart of Elevation, it's about the journey of discipleship. And right there on our little thing, a little on the wall, be disciples, make disciples. It's a journey of discipleship. And this little verse encapsulates that journey with three little words. It says that the new self is being renewed. So it says, put off your old self, put on the new self. Now, as a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in you, now you are not only beloved and perfect in God's eyes, but because of Jesus, but now you have the Holy Spirit's power inside you to work on your character and that old stuff, to put it away and actually in reality put on your new self more and more, the new self that is that perfect person of Jesus. We can grab hold of more of that little by little as, how's it happen? It says that new self is being renewed. So I'm going to geek out here for a second on grammar. I don't like grammar in school. I never liked it. I always thought you had to be a real nerd to be excited about tenses and prepositions and clauses and all this stuff. But in this case right here, the grammar is crucial. because it contains so much beautiful truth about our life in God. It says this, notice with me. It says the new self, and how many of you wouldn't mind more new self? Who wants a more new self in your life? I mean, come on. We all want a more new self. It says that new self, which we all want, is found, notice the tense, is being renewed. That's a strange construction, is being renewed. So you are new, but you are being renewed. So it's a present continuous tense, meaning it's happening right now, but and here's the key, it's an ongoing development. Another way to say it is it's a continual process. It's never done. We have never arrived. We've never got it all together, but there's always hope that we are going to be transformed more. So in life with God, there is always hope for something new. And as we look into this new year, that's beautiful. You know, because we have that longing for newness. And is that just kind of just wishful thinking, you know, just pop psychology? I think there's something deeply spiritual in that hunger. And there's great news that if God's on our side and God's with us and we're dependent humbly on him, that there's always true, real hope for something new. And the converse of that is things are always going to, or not the converse, right alongside with that, is that things in God we can hope will get better. If we are being renewed and our character is being transformed, then things as they currently are will get better. We will have the power, the character, the strength to make decisions that bring better fruit, and the character to handle the challenges that come our way. Things will get better. And the opposite of that is very hopeful, or the flip side of it, is that message of hope and truth from this verse is that with God, you are never stuck. That's good news. How many of you know what it feels like when you're in a hard situation and hope is gone because you don't have the power to change it, and you can't change the circumstance, you can't change yourself, the other person, and you're just stuck. That is bad. That does not feel good. To be in a painful situation and be stuck is one of the worst places for any of us to be. But this is an awesome, awesome hope that with God, we are never stuck. There is always hope for something new because I am being renewed. You are being renewed. So there's always hope that you're not stuck and things will get better as long as we stay humbly dependent on him. Whatever the situation is, whether it was because I was a jerk of a husband yesterday or whether it was I was an impatient parent today doesn't mean I have to be that tomorrow, or the selfish person that I was, or the you know, irresponsible kid, or the irreliable friend, or whatever it may be. There is beautiful hope that those nitty gritty daily life burdens that you bring into 2013 from 2012 that are hard, that are painful, that are stressful, you are not stuck, because we serve the God who says, "I love to make all things new." And that's a very big, all is a nice word. A very nice word. It says there is nothing outside the scope of all. They're not friends. Nothing in all. Nothing outside the scope of what God loves to make new when we stay humbly dependent on him. So my encouragement to you guys is that as we begin this new year, whether it's that you need new passion, you need new hope, you need new community, you need a new identity, you need a new understanding that you are God's beloved child and God's in a good mood, you need a new financial breakthrough, you need a new job situation, you need better situation with friends and family, whatever it is, there is this radical hope. And it's not fake and it's not just wishful thinking. It's into the nitty-gritty of God wants to transform who you are and bring a new self. It is being renewed. So that my encouragement, therefore, as you come into 2013, bring all of it with you and give it into the hands. Let go. This is the hard part. To let go, take it, know what it is, own it, and give it into the hands of the one who says, I love to make all things new. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for the reality. Not the fiction, not the wishful thinking, but the reality that you love to make all things new. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just continue to work in each of our hearts and even descend in a heavy way right now and encourage each person in this room that no matter their situation, they are not stuck. That if they give it to you, if they turn it over to you, they can watch the miraculous power of the God who makes all things new. And I want to invite you guys to do something here, just between you and God. But I want to invite you to, in about 30 seconds of silence, just think and ask God to put something on your heart of what burdens are you carrying from 2012? What anxieties, what worries, what situations? And can you give those over in 2013 to the one who wants to make all things new? And I want to invite you just to take about 30 seconds, a minute, and be quiet and let something come to mind. And then choose in your heart, just between you and God, say, I'm giving it to you, and my hope is in you who makes all things new. Let's just do that right now. Just Holy Spirit, we invite you to be the power in this process. For some of you, may be helpful even to name that thing. I've done it before, where I even imagine it as a big burden on my back that I'm carrying, and I'll, in my mind of prayer, just see myself picking it up and just handing it over to Jesus, or putting it on his shoulders, as he says, to cast all our cares upon him. So let's just do that this morning, as he wants to invite you into that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have lifted so many burdens in my life. Thank you that you have renewed me and are renewing me, Lord, and just that I can say from the bottom of my heart, Lord, that you absolutely are faithful, as that first word said. Great is your faithfulness. You are the God who loves to make all things new. We thank you. That's real this morning, because we need that. We don't need wishful thinking. We need real power for newness. We thank you, God. We start 2013 putting all those things in your good care. We love you, Lord. Just pray your Spirit be with us throughout the week as we continue, Lord, to pursue you, and pray you would reveal to us more and more of who you are, who we are in your eyes as your beloved children, who you are as the God in a good mood, and the God who loves to make all things new. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.